You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProntPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This will be the Monday edition. Friday was a big surprise for everybody. I think Democrats, Republicans, and even the voter were taken aback. I think the typical reaction, this has to be a hoax, that the FBI director would not have sent that letter. Well, he did send the letter. And I think he had to send the letter. He had no choice because he did testify in front of Congress under oath that he had closed out the email part of the investigation into the fact that Hillary Clinton did have classified documents on her server, but they would not go forward nor recommend that the Justice Department pursue prosecution because it lacked intent. Well, as I and many others have commented, you don't need to have intent under certain laws for the simple reason the fact that you have classified information, whether it's marked or unmarked on your server, is in and of itself a crime. It doesn't matter what you intended to do with it. And people familiar with the law and familiar that have handled classified documents know that. You know, you're not supposed to take them home. What were they doing on a personal server in New York? Because these documents are usually, not usually, almost always, communicated under a secure, separate communication system where you cannot email or get access to the Internet. It's clear to me and many other people that if this were not Hillary Clinton, the book would have been thrown at him. They would have recommended a criminal referral, and the Justice Department would have prosecuted. Now, that's gone, and people once Comey after, and that's why on Friday's show, I played in its entirety from beginning to end. It's about 16, 17 minutes. His statement, just to refresh everybody's memory, and what struck me at the time, and I said it yesterday, Friday, is he was totally silent about two things. One is a separate investigation in the Clinton Foundation. Didn't say one word about that, nor did he say one word about the staff. Because why Hillary Clinton did establish a server, a separate email account and server in her home, and she conducted State Department business over that server, and people were aware of it, including the President of the United States. Because most employees, I would say not most, you're required, no matter where you work in the government, to conduct your official business on secured servers. And in other words, have a email account, a State Department email account, and that is just one of the many things that Hillary Clinton did that was not following either protocols or the rules and really the laws. She couldn't have gotten permission to anyone because you don't get permission to break the law. I'm relating this because there are two sets of crimes. One is the handling of government documents, including confidential documents, over that email server, both going and coming. And there's no way Hillary Clinton could have gotten highly classified documents unless her staff was in on it. In other words, we're dealing with a conspiracy, a rather closely held conspiracy of Hillary Clinton and her immediate assistants, including Huma Abedin, who was, until recently, they're separated, the wife of former Congressman Anthony Weiner, or what some people call him, the pervert. So Friday we learned that they had emails. Now, there's not very many details forthcoming, but I knew that for sure a number of papers, whether it's the Washington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, other papers, were probably investigating this, or should be. And there was a story published today by Devlin Barrett. Actually, it was yesterday. It was Sunday, but Sunday evening. Somewhat late, around 8 o'clock Eastern time. And it's a blockbusting type story in some key revelations. The title of it is FBI in Internal Feud Over Hillary Clinton Probe. What we learned from the article is there was a separate investigation, which I assume was going on and continuing going on, even though the FBI director didn't say anything about it. I think that was very, very intentional and deliberate, that four FBI officers were involved in it. The New York City office, and they're heavily involved in any type of racketeering type situation, public corruption cases. But it's not only the New York City office, and you would expect, because the Clinton Foundation has offices in Little Rock, Arkansas, so they were involved as well in assisting the New York City office, but also Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. Now, what's key here is a number of points, but what I think is the key point is usually the FBI says nothing about an ongoing investigation, nothing whatsoever. And the reason is very simple, because many times they don't prosecute. They gather evidence, and there's just not evidence that there's been crimes committed. Now, the fact that you've had four FBI field officers investing it with who knows how many agents that is, but I suspect it's several dozen, because when you're involved in these type of cases where people are offering bribes or using various means to get access, in this case, to the Secretary of State, by first making charitable contributions to the Clinton Foundation and then providing her husband with a rather lucrative income with rather high, some would say unbelievable, speaking fees, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Was there a quid pro quo? Well, the immediate quid pro quo is what? The fact that they got an appointment with the Secretary of State. So if you made the charitable contribution to the Clinton Foundation, you made sure that Bill Clinton got one or more speaking engagements. And remember, many of these people that were offering the money, not only U.S. corporations, which I wouldn't be surprised they did, but more importantly, they were far the leaders and governments abroad, because they want access to who? The State Department is the critical one, and who's there? Hillary Clinton, and she'll probably be the next president. At least that was the thinking. So it made sense to do this, and I always need to remind Americans, I've lived abroad, corruption is in many countries a cost to doing business. You have to bribe people to get businesses. That's the customs. That's the culture. It's standing operating procedures. It's illegal in the United States, but it's expected in other countries, especially those in the Middle East. So when someone from the Clinton Foundation solicited not only U.S. corporations, but foreign leaders, whether or not they were interested in hiring Bill Clinton to give one or more speeches, they knew what was going on. And I always need to remind people, I've dealt with people that had very high net worths. And what I mean by that, the money that they had in their pants, tens of thousands of dollars in many cases, was chump change for them. And that's hard to get through your head, especially if that's your salary for the entire year. But there are people that are very wealthy, and when you're talking foreign governments and dictators and kings, where they're getting revenue primarily through oil, the sale of petroleum, they have billions of dollars. So $100,000, $1 million is nothing, because they're earning billions. Get that point through your head. This would be normal for many, many, many foreign governments to do this. And that's what I said in the last show. But what's new is this article is now confirming, and he has his sources, obviously he's not going to disclose his sources, that the FBI was conducting a separate investigation into what the Clinton Foundation was doing. There's a word for it that describes it. It's graft. Now, you got to prove it, but the FBI doesn't assign many agents and have four field offices working on this if there's not a clear indication beyond a suspicion, quite frankly, that there's something wrong here. And you got to check it out. And you don't know what you're going to find in these types of investigations. You don't know. You got to follow the evidence and see where it leads. And sometimes where it leads is a dead end. There's no evidence that in any way this was a bribery situation, or people were giving large amounts of money in the expectation that they would have ready access to the Secretary of State. That's what we're talking about. Imagine you try to get an appointment with the Secretary of State. Good luck. They probably won't answer your phone and laugh at you. And that's the way politics is played. Why do you think the so-called donor class, the very wealthy in this country, the owners of this country, contribute to both political parties, Democrat and Republican Party? They're the major donors. We're not talking the small stuff. And they're donating to super PACs as well as making the maximum contributions they can make as an individual. They're doing it to get first and foremost is just to get access, a meeting, an hour with the principal. They want something. They don't give large sums of money, especially over a long period of time, to anybody, unless, first of all, they get access, but more importantly, they get results. It's not a charity, folks. Why, you and me with small contributions, it's definitely a campaign contributions. I'm not people that give these small amounts, they're not expecting anything. And they were just like anyone that hadn't contributed. So what was new and is becoming increasingly clear is that while the email portion of what I consider a scandal was, for all practical purposes, the case was closed last July, even though many people, including prosecutors, said, we would have prosecuted this. It did not sit well with who? The FBI agents, obviously, that were investigating this. Now, you need to understand something. The FBI mission is investigation. They can't indict anyone. And if they want to subpoena people to get information or execute a search warrant, who has to initiate that? It can't. It has to go to a judge, obviously, an independent third party, but it's the Department of Justice that does that. And the reason is obvious. They're the ones that are going to prosecute the case, and they don't want to prosecute any case that they're going to lose for the simple reason there's not enough evidence. When you read the law, are the elements that you need to prove a crime supported by the evidence or not? So if you're a prosecutor, you don't want to waste a lot of time only to get in the court and the whole case be thrown out. What we're dealing here is judgment and people's experience and really biases. It's clear to me that a certain level of the FBI is clearly their political appointees, and they were appointed by Barack Obama. Some that worked there were appointed by Bill Clinton. The career prosecutors, the attorneys, are there. Many, I would say most, are Democrats. Some are Republican. But when you're dealing with a criminal case, you really want to call it the right way. In other words, you should be doing the right thing. I was of the opinion, and I'm still of the opinion, that James Comey did not do the right thing. Now, you need to understand, and many do, that James Comey had a reputation as a lawyer being more or less a Boy Scout or straight arrow. He let the facts drive his decisions, but he's made wrong decisions. People make mistakes. Human beings make mistakes. And I thought he made a serious mistake, because if you listen to what he said, and that's why I played it last show, and for those that are new to the show, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop show is to go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpos.wordpress.com. You go there, you can listen to the show, but you'll also have my notes to the show, which it's more than notes. A lot of it is videos, cartoons, photographs, articles, comments, as well as my show that pertain to that particular news story, or in some cases, several news stories. Now, the reason I'm emphasizing this is the FBI discovered in a separate investigation of Anthony Weiner that there were thousands of emails of his wife, both to and from the Department of State and Hillary Clinton, on her personal server, Hillary Clinton's personal server. In other words, this is new evidence, or potentially new evidence. And why do I say potentially? Well, the FBI has recovered many thousands of the documents and has them in their possession. But Hillary Clinton destroyed approximately 33,000 emails, saying it had nothing to do with the State Department. They were personal, separate from her government duties. That may be the case. But let's get back just for a minute. Why would Hillary Clinton set up that server? If you knew you were going to be soliciting as well as accepting what most people would call bribes, you want that information closely held. You don't want it on a government server. You don't want it where the document could be archived and then later retrieved at all. You'd be crazy. So the motivation to set up the server is rather clear to many people, including me, is to keep it away from prying eyes that you're engaged in activity that may very well be criminal. And I think that was and will be the primary reason she did this. Now, a secondary reason is just as powerful. By not having her government-related emails on a government server, state.gov type server, she would avoid, in her mind, Freedom of Information Act requests, FOIA requests, even though the State Department has a well-deserved reputation of dragging their feet, taking forever. You may make the request today and it be a year or more before you get it. And there's a backlog, and for various reasons, they're just simply slow. And obviously, on very closely held sensitive information, they have a reason to be slow. So those were two very powerful reasons for Hillary Clinton to set up a private server. Now, she said it was just for convenience, that she wanted to use one device. Well, we've subsequently learned she had many, many devices. That was just blowing smoke. In other words, it was another lie, another Hillary lie. And there was more than one server. Many devices, several servers. And the problem with those servers is it was not secured, which means it's subject to being hacked or broken into by other foreign governments, especially intelligence agencies that routinely do this to get access to the leadership's thoughts, intentions, and maybe, depending on what they find, get leverage, which is a nice way to say blackmail, get some dirt on the person that could be used later on, especially if she became president of the United States. So Hillary Clinton, in my mind, was engaged in a cover-up from the very beginning when she started that, established that server. It would have been very easy for her and very proper of her to use a state.gov server for government work. And like I said last show, usually when you go to work from someone, whether it's the government or in the private sector, a business or employer, they typically have their own email server, and they also, many require that any government business be conducted on that server because they've set up security measures to make sure no one breaks into the server. Because if they do break in, a lot of your very sensitive proprietary information could be disclosed to who? Your competitors. Hillary Clinton's judgment was poor in this situation for the simple reason I think there's probably half a dozen or more governments that know and have and probably have looked at everything that was on that server. That's been gone over with a fine-tooth comb to see what's on it. Now, many of these emails, I'm sure, are very boring, very routine conversations. But you got a universe of, draw a big circle here, of approximately 650,000 emails. Many of those are personal emails between Anthony Weiner, Huma Abedin, and other people. And there's no real criminal behavior. But you do have a much smaller subset of what? Emails that pertain to two things, one being the handling of government records or mishandling of government records, as well as classified information. She was negligent, grossly negligent. As far as I'm concerned, she should have been prosecutor, and that's grounds for not being president of the United States. And let me clear something up, because some people sort of don't get it. It's one thing if you're not president of the United States. You work in the government as usually a government employee. Maybe you're a political appointment. Well, they have to do a background check on you so you can get a security clearance to look at these documents. But the president doesn't get a background check. It's the American people decide, based on the information they have when they vote, whether or not this person is trustworthy and whether he will protect the assets of this country. So the president doesn't get an FBI check, and he can classify and declassify information. That's normal. But some people out there actually think, well, he can't pass, they're now talking about Hillary Clinton, she can't pass a background check. Well, that's true, she can't. But if she's elected president, she doesn't have to. So let me clear that up. With the exception of the president, maybe the vice president, everybody else has to, A, get a background check, and has to pass it. You don't want someone working for a foreign government handling and having access to very sensitive classified information. Hillary Clinton will not work in the government in any capacity except president of the United States. And that's something you may or may not have to get used to depending on whether or not people vote. What I'm trying to emphasize is the FBI is conducting a separate investigation of the Clinton Foundation. And they're going to have to compare emails that the other team that investigated the handling of emails to see if there are any matches in the sense that, well, we either already have the document or parts of the document versus a new document that they don't have, that they've now discovered. And I think that is the case. And I think they at least did a preliminary sort to see that they had at least one or two significant ones for the simple reason they had to go to a judge. The Department of Justice had to go to the judge. And you have to have probable cause, which means you have to state why you want a search warrant of Anthony Weiner's laptop, or the one both him and his wife have used. And the judge approved that subpoena. But the key thing here is a Department of Justice fairly high official has to sign off on that. Not necessarily in this case. I don't think it was the attorney general, but someone fairly high up. Now, what does that tell you? And this is the key thing. I believe that the FBI knows that once they finish their examination of all the emails that they have found on Anthony Weiner's laptop, and I think that will take weeks. Actually, I think it'll take months. We're not going to learn it between now and Election Day, even though Hillary Clinton is demanding it. Well, she can demand all she wants, but excuse me, ma'am, you're the subject of the investigation together with your husband. And they don't do that casually, and they don't devote a lot of resources unless they have strong evidence to indicate that there might very well have been bribes. That's what was going on. You were soliciting graft payoffs to get access. So James Comey had to do the right thing. Now, this time, he had to do the right thing. And in the last show, and you can go there and get copies of the letter that he sent. And let me emphasize again, Hillary Clinton and her spokesman were emphasizing, well, this only went to Republicans. As I said last show, that's a lie. It went to both Democratic and Republican members on the various committees. They were trying to make this into a partisan issue when it wasn't at all partisan. And always keep in mind, Hillary Clinton is to blame for this. She's the one that decided that she was going to have her own server, own email account, and avoid all the time expense of using a State Department email system. And that is, so where are we? And how is this going to impact the election? This puts a very dark cloud over the head of Hillary Clinton. Up until last Friday, your average Democrat voter could care less about the emails. What's changed as of Friday and will become increasingly obvious, that you have someone that may or may not be indicted after being elected president if you go vote for. And the server that was set up, the intention all along was to make sure neither the press or what I call big lie media or various investigative bodies, agencies, did not get hold of these documents. In other words, they were planning to hide it from the American people from the get-go. If you're going to commit a crime and then cover up the crime, you don't announce it. You deny it, but you don't announce, well, you know, I'm going to do this, just watch me do it. So there is an arrogance here of I'm going to do it because I can. And I frankly don't care what your concerns are, because bottom line, why is Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton doing this? Money, folks. Money that they can put in their pocket. So this changes the whole situation in my mind. And I think James Comey was definitely anticipating that if he did nothing and did not correct or amend the record, that this was going to be leaked by the FBI and or people in the Justice Department. Oh, I believe it would have been repeated. So we sit here on a Monday waiting. Do I think by next Tuesday we'll know? Actually, I don't. Because to do a, they're not going to do a rush job. They're not going to do, maybe they hire some speed readers to see if they can find the so-called smoking gun. I think there are dozens of smoking guns. But what you think or believe is not enough. You have to gather the evidence and prove it, that you were receiving money in exchange for something else, whatever that something else might be, a job, expensive gifts. The impact, I think, will be, and it's going to be a delayed one and a rolling one, is that by roughly next Saturday or Sunday, there will be a reaction. I want to cover sort of changing the subject a little bit. When you're dealing with what I would call a developing story, and this is a developing story, you're definitely going to get lags in the polls. The polls will definitely be changing, and I've been saying this. And it was really starting last week, last Wednesday or so, that they slowly started to change. And now more and more are changing. It's getting closer. They almost always do. And I think it'll get a lot closer. But it'll be Thursday or Friday. Not today, not tomorrow. It usually takes 3, 4, in some cases 5, depends on the size of the poll, how many people are working on it, before you're going to see the impact of that Friday at, I believe, 1 o'clock, roughly 1 o'clock, disclosure. And I say disclosure, it's James Comey didn't release this, folks. He sent the letter to a number of chairmen in the House. It was leaked, and he knew it was going to be leaked. There's no way he could stop it from being leaked. And that's how the press got a hold of it. So he didn't do like he did in July, hold a press conference and say what he was doing. No, he was rather circumspect, but he knew that by sending the letter, and it was really for your information, we're still investigating, that it would cause exactly what it caused. Now, instead of James Comey, the FBI director, being the Democrats' really good friend, best friend, for exonerating. And let me correct that. That's what Hillary Clinton would like you to believe, that the FBI directors think she's innocent. No, they don't think she's innocent. They have tons of evidence that points to just the opposite. But they're not decisive. They don't make the decision whether to prosecute or not. That's the problem. It's not a problem, but that decision is made by higher-ups in the Department of Justice. I think the FBI knows, as well as some people in the Department of Justice know, this is going to blow sky high. In other words, they have evidence. Because if it was simply minor stuff, I don't think he ever would have wrote the letter. There's some information that they think is going to be damning of a Hillary Clinton presidency. So something's coming down the pike. I don't think it's going to be exposed prior to the election. But I think that's very much a 50-50 proposition. Anyone in the FBI, or for that matter in the Justice Department, that knows what's going on, they can leak it. And you only need one to leak it, and that will cause the problem. But what's the impact on the voter? Yes, it puts a cloud over Hillary Clinton's head, big time. But for the voter, you have to ask yourself, do I want to vote for Hillary Clinton, especially if she could get elected president, and it comes out she's guilty of sin? The answer is, for most people, no. The challenge for voters is they're not going to know by next Tuesday, 8 days from now, what the situation is. The FBI is not going to rush this. You better believe they're not rushing it. They're taking their own sweet time. And Hillary Clinton is trying to pressure James Comey. It's not going to work. He's not going to do this. Because the New York City office, who has apparently the lead on the Clinton Foundation investigation, and they're very good in catching politicians doing actions that are reprehensible. There's smoke here, folks. Now, whether or not there's a fire yet, that has not been shown. But there's enough doubt, if you will, to give anyone that's was thinking of voting for Hillary Clinton pause. And I would say great pause. I don't want to, in essence, throwing their vote away. Elect a crooked president, especially if you have Donald Trump, who I think many view as a leader. So between now and Election Day, will we see evidence? I don't think so. Not at all. I would be just as surprised if we did as what James Comey announced, the FBI director announced last Friday. And it gets back to what I think, how this will play out. And I still stand by my earlier prediction. President Obama is going to pardon Hillary Clinton. He'll probably do it either, if not the last day, the next to the last day. Just like President Gerry Ford pardoned Richard Nixon after he resigned. You don't want an ex-president sitting in a prison cell, even if many of them deserve to be in a prison cell. So presidents of the United States are given more than the benefit of the doubt, way more. Whether they deserve that is subject to debate. I think this was a game changer. I can understand why the Democratic Party and the Clinton campaign are going nuts over this. They're trying to blame James Comey, trying to politicize this. The obvious way was to say that he only sent the letter to Democrats' chairman on the committee when that's on its face is false. So we're sort of stuck with the situation we have. But I stand by my long prediction that Donald Trump will be president of the United States. And the reason is enthusiasm. Just look at a Hillary event and a Donald Trump event. It's night and day in terms of the number of people. So the Clinton vote will get out, and it will vote for Donald Trump. Does that mean he's guaranteed to be a success or no? Well, let me back up. As of today, Hillary Clinton is still winning in terms of the electoral vote. I think by Friday, it'll be a virtual tie, and very possibly Donald Trump will be ahead in the polls. And I would wait to really Friday. You'll get some Thursday, but it will really be the Friday results going into the weekend before the election, where you'll get a clear indication that Donald Trump's momentum has grown in its magnitude and its strength. And for sure, if that continues into Election Day, he will be our next president. And I'm getting a sense, and we'll need to see if it's true, we might see another, if not a landslide, a significant victory for Donald Trump because of who? Reagan Democrats. As well as Republicans coming home to who? Donald Trump and Mike Pence. Don't forget Mike Pence, a solid conservative congressman, now former governor of Indiana. And he was my first choice had he decided to run for the presidential nominee of his party. He decided not to do it, but he was picked by Trump. We won't see that until Thursday or Friday, maybe a little sooner. And you're going to have to look into the internals to find that. What's the trend? Remember, it was Donald Trump that branded Hillary Clinton as being crooked. And now that is coming true. Because with the release of that letter, now many people are saying, yes, she is crooked. Now, I've already have said many times, because I've followed this for years, that the Clintons were bought and paid for politicians, and they would accept bribes. And they've now, because they got away with it for so many years, they thought they were above the law. And what's going to happen is many Democrats will most likely sit home, not vote for her. They might come out and vote for someone in the House or the Senate. But a lot of Democratic voters, part of the base, will stay home. They don't want to be the one that elects a crooked president. That's just a little bit too far for even them to go. If that plays out and happens, and I think it will, then Donald Trump, I'm not saying he's going to run the table, but he will get enough popular votes as well as electoral votes to cinch it. It's not going to happen until Election Day. And yes, there's a lot of early voters more than 20 million, 25 million, I think, is the number I heard. It's going up and up, and some of them can change their vote. You can't do that in Texas. The Trump surge will hit Thursday and Friday, and you'll need to focus in on where Donald Trump is spending his money and where Hillary Clinton is spending his money. If Donald Trump can win Florida, which I think he will, Ohio, which I think he will, right now I think North Carolina is very much a toss-up. One of the key wins is going to have to be Pennsylvania. If he can win those states, I think he has more than enough possibility of getting to 270. Now, there's various combinations, and you can go on and on. Well, he could win this, this, and this, not lose this. The impact and the subsequent more and more information is leaking out. What's happening is Trump is going up in the polls and Hillary Clinton is going down. That will be abundantly clear Thursday and Friday. And if nothing else breaks, that's kind of the momentum you want going into Election Day. Now, ideally, you would like to have something else break. But people are going to say, Crooked Hillary. She'll earn that moniker. Oh, yeah, Crooked Hillary. The FBI, she's under FBI investigation. That is what, in my mind, is going to be the death knell for her run for president. I'm not going to vote for a crook. I can't trust that woman. Sorry you came. I'm looking at the time. I got maybe 20 minutes. Now, there's a dimension to this that hasn't been brought up, and I really don't know the answer to this. Let's assume I'm right. Hillary Clinton loses. Donald Trump is elected president. Well, Donald Trump has already indicated that he will instruct his attorney general to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate the Clinton email situation as well as the Clinton Foundation to see if there's any crimes have been committed. Now, I have no faith at all in the Department of Justice, and I've lost a lot of faith in the FBI coming to the truth in this. And because of that, you need a special prosecutor. I think that's the answer if you can find a really good one, and they need to go after it. And I know the precedent in terms of time. The states could charge violations if there have been violations of state law. That could be an avenue, a way that ultimately brings down both Bill and Hillary Clinton. I think it's a long shot, frankly, but it could happen. And if Trump is elected, I think you're going to see a special prosecutor, and he will be tasked not only to look at the emails, but as well as the Clinton Foundation. So this story has legs. It will continue. I will be following it closely. And before I forget, there will be no show tomorrow because the very first Tuesday of every month, the Dallas County Community College Board of Trustees meets. And it's broadcast over KDUX Web Radio. So the Tuesday shows will be preempted. That includes mine. So my next show definitely will be Wednesday. And I'm sure by Wednesday we'll have more information and even learn more. Well, I think the FBI is trying to, as fast as they can, determine whether or not they have one or more smoking guns. In other words, evidence, clear, convincing, concise evidence that, yes, crimes were committed, and we need to pursue the leads where they lead. And at some point, probably next year, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton will be charged and indicted. You have to go to a grand jury. See, the frustration of the many of the FBI agents is that the Department of Justice did not go to a judge and a grand jury and present the evidence that they already had in the email. Forget about the Clinton Foundation for a moment. Why this is happening, what's happening in terms of the Democratic Party? I think they're cracking up, folks. Big lie media, together with the lying lunatic left, are besides themselves. Why? They think, and I think they're right, they were expecting up to last Friday, and it was an October surprise. He didn't wait to today, but it was very much to the last moment and came out of nowhere. Nobody was aware, and even maybe James Comey said he became aware of that the day before. So this was a surprise at not only the Department of Justice and the FBI. It really took many people, especially the voter that pays attention to this, many people, including I initially said, I don't believe this. Someone is playing a trick. You know, Halloween was coming up. This is a trick or treat. But as more details do leak out from the FBI and the Department of Justice, I think we're looking at, hopefully, a private citizen, namely Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, being charged. Arrested is more than appropriate. But it'll happen next year, if it ever happens, because on or about, but before January 20th, when Barack Obama leaves office and Donald Trump gets elected, President Barack Obama, as one of his last acts as president, will pardon Hillary Clinton. And once that happens, and I think it's going to happen, I've been saying this, a lot of people say no, he won't do it, it'll tarnish his legacy. Well, get back to why he would. And it gets back to that word leverage. Think of his dirt, incriminating evidence or embarrassing evidence that they both have against each other. And I think part of that, certainly not all of it, but a major part of that is Benghazi and that cover-up. That came out of the White House, and it was a big lie to distract the media. So the fear was, and it was a justified fear, remember, Benghazi occurred on September 11th and 12th of 2012. We were less than 2 months away from the election. And yes, they lied about it, and everyone knows they lied about it. It wasn't due to a YouTube video. Hillary Clinton knows what was going on, and so does Barack Obama. They know the details of that very much blown covert operation of the Central Intelligence Agency. And they don't want to get anything, any information relating to that, what led up to it, what happened during it, what happened after it. Because it's a disaster. It's a failure. It's not a victory. It's not a success. It's a failure. And there probably is many other reasons why Barack Obama will grant her that pardon. And I have repeatedly described this as mutually assured destruction. They're not going to go after each another and reveal the criminal activities of each another. They would not really gain from that. They have nothing to really benefit from that, and really a lot to lose. We'll find out right around 80 days until roughly he takes that oath. Donald Trump takes the oath and Barack Obama leaves. We'll know by then. And in 8 days, we'll know who the next president of the United States is. It could be, if I'm right, given the enthusiasm of the people attending the various campaign events of Donald Trump and comparing that with the enthusiasm and much smaller crowds that go to Hillary Clinton events and fewer events, by the way. If that, I call that an early indicator. But if the Reagan Democrats and the Republicans and the conservatives and the libertarians come home to the Republican Party and vote for Donald Trump, if that happens, especially women, Donald Trump wins, and he might win big. And that means he has a mandate. I always have been saying you need a mandate, and that means you need to spell out your positions on a broad range of issues. I still don't think, as of right now, that either candidate, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, will break 50%. I think whoever wins will have 47, 48, maybe as high as 49%. And whoever loses will have 41, 42, 43. And the reason why I'm unsure, I'm not sure yet who's going to be, because I want to see in the polls coming out Thursday and Friday that Donald Trump is definitely leading. And what does it look like in terms of the Electoral College? It's very easy to lose sight of that. The campaigns are not going to lose sight of that. They're doing their own internal polls, as well as looking at the publicly available polls to determine which states each candidate should be going into. And more importantly, where they need to run campaign ads. That's why I say look to where candidates place at the very last minute commercials on television, radio, because that is a public, to the extent it's public, indication of what the polls are reflecting. In other words, if it looks like Hillary Clinton has not only lost ground, but now Donald Trump is winning in a state that the Democrats thought they were going to win, what are they going to do? They're going to use these negative ads. I don't think it's going to be effective for the simple reason, with most people, The only ones that'll be affected with, and this is who I think they're targeting, are what I call the dummies on the street, the dots, that don't pay attention at all to political events, but they want to vote, and at the very, very last minute, make a decision really between now and next Tuesday. And many of them, that decision might be to stay home. They're not going to waste their time. I think all that will hurt Hillary Clinton. Oh, yeah, there are some Republicans that won't vote for Donald Trump. I understand that. I'm staying home, by the way. I'm taking what I call the George Carlin option. I'm staying home. Don't blame me for what happens. Now, if you're undecided, I'll tell you where I'm coming from. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I don't have a horse in this race. I could never vote for Hillary Clinton. I'm not one of those turncoat rollover Republicans that have indicated, instead of keeping their mouths shut, have indicated in public that they're voting for Hillary Clinton. And that's not only politicians, that's also people in big lie media. Well, I can't vote for Hillary Clinton. She is taking this country down the road to serfdom. In other words, she wants to establish a socialist state. That's the end game here. And their way to get that victory is to make sure that the 30 to 50 million illegal aliens that are here get first a work permit, then a green card, and then citizenship. They want to make all the illegal aliens here citizens of the United States, and all that is going to encourage is more and more illegal alien invasions. That is what one of several issues, but I think a very important issue, that is going to get the vote out. People that focus in on wallet or economic issues know that their wages and salaries are going to be rather flat where you have to compete with that many more people in the labor market. Now, I'm well aware that many of those illegals are children. But children grow up and become adults and then get into the labor market. We're importing, by not enforcing the law, millions of people in the United States. And if we don't build a wall to stop that invasion, it'll continue and it will continue. And that's what the Democratic Party wants, because they think of every illegal here as a Democratic voter. It's going to take a little time, a little effort, but everyone will be a Democratic voter. And if they can get that through and accomplish that, they know they will become the single party in the United States. If they lose it, it's really no skin after the game. That's what's at stake. There's some very high stakes, not only the Supreme Court and the judges being appointed, not only the Supreme Court, but the other federal courts, and whether or not we have truly open borders. And that's what Hillary Clinton is for. If you are for open borders, Hillary Clinton is your candidate. I think you're a fool, and it's ultimately going to hurt you, but you have the right to vote. I'm not voting because not only can I not trust Hillary Clinton, I have some reservations about Trump. But if I were in a state, a swing state, and the vote was very, very close, I would have voted for Trump. You know, the phrase used, you have to hold your nose to and then vote. Well, I'm not holding my nose. I'm staying home. Don't blame me. I'm going to blame you. I hope I'm right. If I'm wrong, God help America. And I truly mean that. Because then we'll have a rather corrupt, well, I describe her as Clipper Hillary, a corrupt, lying, incompetent, progressive politician that's a eugenics racist. Clipper Hillary. And I think it's only a matter of time before Clipper Hillary is indicted for her many crimes. Will there be a bombshell release of evidence this week? I don't think so. But I could be wrong. Who knows? No one anticipated what happened last Friday. I don't blame James Comey at all. Because anyone, if you work for the police, investigations, you never know that what will break a case. Because you got to connect the dots. That means you have to be familiar with a lot. That's why it's going to take, I think, weeks, if not months, to go through that email, so-called 650,000 emails. That's a lot of emails, folks. But even if they have just a very small percent of those pertain to the communications between Hillary Clinton and her closest assistant aide, really, some would say her second daughter, we're talking thousands, maybe as many as 10,000, 20,000 documents. Some will deal with government documents, their handling, classified documents. Others will deal with the Clinton Foundation. And if they're not duplicates of what the FBI already has, in other words, if out of that, let's say 20,000, just to use the number, let's say 10% are damaging. That's 2,000 emails. I think you're going to find a smoking gun, but I don't think that is going to be revealed before next Tuesday. In other words, you're going to have to wait and see. And while we're waiting, many people that were leaning and going to go for Hillary Clinton are now put on hold and will most likely wait for the election day. Early voting is wrapping up. And in some states, you can change your vote, and people are taking advantage of that. But in Texas, you can't do that. And that's always the problem with early voting. A news story break that would, not for everybody, but many people, change their vote. And I think many of the people that voted for Hillary Clinton, enough to maybe swing the election, would have changed their vote. But they can't. So they're stuck. But you're going to have a lot of Democrats as well as Republicans saying, I can't abide Hillary Clinton, a liar, a dishonest person to be president of the United States. I just can't do that. In other words, they're going to have to do the right thing. It's up to the American people to reach a verdict on Hillary Clinton next Tuesday, because she's not going to see a day in jail because she's going to be pardoned. And remember, the one thing that she's wanted really since college and when she finally hooked up and finally married Bill Clinton is to be the first woman president. That has been her ambition for decades, and she thought it should have been hers in 2008, but Barack Obama beat her, and I think in 2016, Donald Trump is going to beat Hillary Clinton. So stay tuned. Thank you for listening, and now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.